From Crazy Hood Productions, I'm Jay Havana, and this is Family Ties. Today's episode is about Crazy Hood member N.O.R.E. Nori's a multi-platinum recording artist as one half of the hip-hop duo Capone and Noriega. Nori also found success as a solo artist, host of his food show On the Run Eating, and co-host of the Drink Champs podcast. Listen close as he shares his story. Always authentic, always crazy.
Another day, another dollar, my story to tell. Another failed piss test, I'm back to jail. Jail cells overcrowded with killers and thieves. Couldn't work, motherfuckers, roll up your sleeves. I'm Comptown representer, I'm letting them know. I keep it hood with a nigga, so hand me my dough. I don't play when it comes to bread or the raps. Instead, get the killer motherfucker till his vocals dead. My crazy hood overthrowing, shut up. Nigga, you see the pistol showing from the CPT. Down with EFN, between the beef and the peace, local line is thin. The real and the fake, couple lies get in. Couple of stripper holes where you snaps to see.
Do you remember the first hip hop song you heard?
Hell no, man. Hell no. You know what? I got a rhyme. I say, a Philly roller. Hip hop is older than me. I listen to it in my stroller, and that rhyme is like 100% true. It's like I've been a part of hip hop so long that I definitely don't remember when I started listening to it. Mm. Like, that's how long. I mean, I'm an old guy. I'm 40 years old. I'll be 41 in September. Mm-hmm. But that's how long I have been. I don't even remember where it began. You know what I'm saying? I've just been a part of it. I've seen everything from Beach Street to Crush Groove to Malibu's Most Wanted, you know?
Right.
I've seen everything hip-hop-related, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Word, I've seen it all, man. Word.
Is there a specific person or event in your life that inspired you to start rapping?
Well, it would have to be Granddaddy IU. And this was, remember, I didn't know how Granddaddy IU looked. Nothing. It was this one moment where he just said, "I knew this girl named Kenya from West Virginia.
Boy, would I love to stick something in ya."
And I was just like, yo, I want to talk like that. Like, you know what I mean? When I heard that, I was just like, I didn't know why. I just was like, yo, that was the slickest shit I ever heard. I knew a girl named Kenya, and she happened to be from West Virginia. Like, that was it was the slickest shit. I remember that was a moment. I don't remember what year. I don't remember what album that was from Granddaddy IU. I don't remember what song it was from Granddaddy IU. But I remember hearing that, and I was just like, rewind. This is back in the days when we had tape cassettes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I rewind, and I had to like stop it at the very first moment, because you know you're rewinding too far. You know what I'm saying? Then so I had to stop it. I just kept rewinding that part. I knew this girl named Kenya from West Virginia. Boy, would I like to stick something in her. And that was that moment. I was that moment that I knew I wanted to be a rapper. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be like him. I wanted to speak like him. But the craziest shit, the most ironicest shit in the world is, I also didn't want to sound like him. Because I wanted, he was my idol. Him, KRS-One, Biz Markie, Coogee Rap.
Right.
If you take Granddaddy IU, KRS, Coogee Rap, Biz Markie, put them all together, that's what N.R.E. is.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I got the humor from Biz. Like, I always admired Biz. He said picking boogers. He picked a booger in his nose, put it on a basketball, and threw it to his friend. Like, I was like, what? That is hilarious.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, you can be funny in hip-hop, because I've always been kind of a funny dude. I was always a class clown.
Man.
I was always the guy that was, you know, keeping the class, so I took that from Big. My seriousness came from Coogee Rap. My slickness came from Granddaddy IU. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Serious and the street shit came from Coogee Rap, Biz Markie, and then KRS-One. Anytime I tried to teach you, if you listen to the War Report, that was my KRS-One. Like, I was heavily influenced by trying to but trying to learn something and not and just as fast as me learning it, but trying to teach it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Prior to using the names Noriega and N-O-R-E, did you go by another name?
Yo, one of my first hip-hop names was MC Yahoo with the ball, the bean. Very not proud of that name. It was probably the worst name. Then my other name was Yuck, because I used to tag up Yuck. But I don't think I ever really went by that as a name. And then my other name was Pappy Noriega, because in my hood was Poppy Noriega. Poppy. And then Noriega was something that I had read a book in jail, and people, when I dropped the book, people had quizzed me on the book, and I had got the answer correct, so people called me Noriega. But my first MC name was MC Yahoo with the ball to bean.
Boom.
And wow, it was the worst name ever.
And you just mentioned that you used to tag. Did you really get into graffiti art?
Oh, I was ill. That's also when I realized my Latin roots. That's when I really realized there's a difference of being a black guy and a Latin guy. Like, my black friends definitely were not into graffiti at all.
Mm.
They were like, They were like, unless they hung out with a lot of Spanish people like me.
Right.
When I went bombing, it was always with my Spanish friends. They would always be into it more. That's why when you look at the graffiti movies, you always see it's more Spanish people, because that's art. Like, they into art. Like, you know what I'm saying? And they can produce it more. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, I'm Spanish too. I'm Spanish and black. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I get a lot of my artistic side. In fact, when you look at my parents, I know I'm jumping off subject. When you look at my parents, my parents, and you look at my grandparents, none of them do music. My father's father did music, and he played jazz. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
But yeah, so I used to bomb. My name was Size at first, and then I found that there was another person named Size, and so I went with Yuck.
How did you meet Capone, and then how did you guys come up with the idea or forming the group Capone and Noriega?
Well, it was actually me and Capone, we met in jail. But how did we form the group? To be honest, Capone is my bro, but years later, I just figured out that I just feel like he never wanted to be a solo artist. He just wanted to lay 16. Yeah, I heard him say that in an interview one time, and I was just like, wow, it's great to know 20 years later.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because Capone actually had a deal already. He had a deal already, and it fell through, and I had just came from jail. Me and him knew each other from jail. So, and that was basically it, man. And I remember us, you know, him saying his name is Capone, my name being Noriega already, and we just being in his home, in his crib in Queensbridge, in Queensbridge Project.
Yeah.
And I remember he had a green leather couch, and he had a green rug on the floor. And I just remember it being just so ironic. We were watching CNN, and it was said the world. It said the World Report. It was the show called The World Report. And I looked, and I was like, "That's the name of our shit." And he goes, "What?" And I go, "That." And he said, "The World Report." I said, "Nah, nigga, we going through war. We going to change that." And that's exactly how it is.
I know you left for going up creep soon. You know my address, guard, write me letters, keep me in tune. I still remember when we first met. Yo, it was up north, I had the Iraq flag. Your Conrad with do-rag, your A-rag. Damn, done, how you get caught? Sometimes I look back and think the shit is my fault. Cause it was me, guard body, had the dead that pork. I went at them and clapped them up after we fought. Then the beef got deeper than what they clicked on. Peep the bucket head, leather wally head, Daryl Brad. Doing this with two shorty sleeping in the same bed. So what up, huh? Nigga, I can't zone without you. I think about you up at night without my air like shine like broad daylight, debate right. So if your heart stop beating, I go back in time, make your heart beat again. Real niggas to the end, we try to succeed. Niggas smoke weed, contemplated, dedicated to real niggas that could relate it. If your heart stop beating, I go back in time, make your heart beat again. Real niggas to the end, yo, we succeed. Niggas smoke weed, contemplated, dedicated to real niggas that could relate it.
We realized our name, Capone Noriega, was CNN. in Capone and Noriega, and we was watching CNN, and then at the fucking very first time.
Wow.
About a shooting that we might have had, that might have been involved in, or might have not have been.
Right.
And they were saying that the show that was coming up was the World Report. And we was like, whoa. I said, whoa.
That's cool.
That's our shit. That's our name.
That's dope. One of my favorite songs of all time is the song you did with Big Pun called You Came Up. Yes.
Still not a player, but you still a hater. Hater. Where my horns at? Where my horns? That's right.
As I'm alive, I'ma put it on. Could've gone to jail, shit. Thug nigga, till I'm gone. Way to Bronx, I'm flipping. Five boroughs thoroughly rapping. Let's unite the city and step to the world as a weapon. Cause everybody's checking for puns, second to none. Cause Latin's going platinum, was destined to come. The inevitable, heavily better than whatever you do. We eligible to yes, it's incredibly credible for the revenue. We getting you open with lyrical dope. And these breaths that I'm quoting's like an injectional dose. And it never quits. Taking from TS, it's top terrorist. Rapper slash hijack up arm and tracks ever since I was young. I wasn't always Big Pun, it wasn't always this fun. Hey, yo, I rose from the slums, I had to pay my due. Lay a few, but I ain't saying who. Staying true to the game, no names playing it cool. Just me and the crew, holding it down. Long as we round, we gonna keep socking it to you like Homie the Clown. Going down like clock, ready to ride or die, nigga.
Did you guys record that together?
Absolutely. Back then, you couldn't send nobody nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't really, like, you could send rails, but you know how expensive that was? Like, even to send, like, it with a messenger, it was expensive back then. You know what I mean? So you had to go to the studio. I remember just being the first. Pun was the first person that explained to me the food budget is to be spent.
Right.
Like, for years, I would go to the studio and I just, if I was hungry, I ate. You know, and if I wasn't, I just didn't. Mm-hmm. So the money would stay there. So he would tell me, he said, yo, if they don't take the money, the shit stays in the studio if you don't spend the shit. So every day we would go to the studio, he would have a $500 a food budget. Do you know how much fast food you can buy with $500?
That's a lot, man.
Yo,
especially back then.
Especially back then. So he wouldn't like go to the grills or, you know, Island Spice or something. Like, you know, he would go to Burger King. He had him spend $100 on Burger King. I'm talking about $100 cheeseburgers. Then he would spend fucking $100 worth of pizza, and it would be the most amazing eating sessions in the world. Like, it would be like a buffet, but in the studio.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And Pun was I gotta credit Pun that. Like, he was the first. It might have been You Came Up session, because You Came Up was done years before Pun was even a star. You know, a lot of people don't know that. Like before his that was recorded then. You know what I'm saying? It was actually recorded before You're Not a Player.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. So he was like becoming a star. He wasn't like a full-fledged star, but he knew about this food budget. that's the most memorable moment. Like, that's a Pun story I probably never even told. That was like a memorable moment. Like, that's my job, man. I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss him every day.
Yeah. So, having a career that's gone beyond like 20 years, how important is it to reinvent yourself?
I used to me and Pharrell used to make records, right?
Mm-hmm.
People used to say, that's a Nori sound, right? Mm-hmm. I hated that. And I'm gonna tell you, and that's an honor. When a person says that's a Nori sound, that's actually honored, right? I should be honored, right?
Right.
If a person hears like a Bloody Money type of sound, And like, I hate it when producers say this is a Nori beat. Because what the fuck is a Nori beat?
Yeah.
Like, really, what it is? Like, I can rhyme to anything. And that's what I want to, that's what I want to be in life, is I want to be able to do anything. Like, I don't want somebody to look at a food show and say, well, that's a Nori type of food show. No, motherfucker, what is a Nori food show? Nori can do anything.
Right.
And that's what the fuck I want to think like. I don't want to be cocky about it. But I want to think like that. I want to think like I can, like, I don't want you to limit me. I don't want you to pigeonhole me. I don't want you to marginalize me. I don't want you to put me in a space. You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't want to be called rapper. Not because being a rapper isn't the shit. Because, yeah, I am a rapper. But I'm an artist. I'm a creative person.
Yeah.
I am like, you know what I'm saying? I'm a creative person. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want. I don't pigeonhole me as no rapper. Don't pigeonhole me as no journalist. I'm an artist, man. I'm an artist-driven person. That's what the fuck I want to be labeled. That's what the fuck I want to be called. Artist-driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And for me to just sit back and see how big Spanish music is, and for me to show you motherfuckers 10 years ago, I told you motherfuckers Spanish music was the shit. For me to sit back and see, you know, Pharrell be one of the most creative, innovative people, and to know that I had something to do with discovering his career, I always spin at the people and go, "Pah, I told you motherfuckers 20 years ago." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And for me to sit back and look at myself and say, look up in here, you know, War Report would be 21 years old this year. The War Report would be old enough to have a motherfucking drink.
Yeah.
And for me to sit here and still be able for people to talk and have my mind as you texted me, Puff Daddy texted me because we just confirmed Pusha T Monday on Drink Champs. I'm not even supposed to say that, but let's say it, you know, because we're feeling good. You asked me about this career. This is how you feel. And I ain't cocky at all. I mentioned money at all, not once. Motivation, this is work. I want someone else out there who has the same drive as me and have the same push to sit back and stop waiting on someone else. You know, I have conversations with people sometimes. People say, yo, you know, I want to do this. I'm just waiting for this. Why are you waiting on anybody? Don't wait for anybody. I came in this game, I got jerked. I didn't complain about it. I went and got another deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I went and got another deal. And I know I'm making it sound simple. No, this shit wasn't simple. This shit was hard. It was hard, but I worked for it, and I did it. And I did what I had to do. So when you ask me how does it feel, I don't know how it feels having a 21-year career, because I want you to ask me that at 50. At 50, I'm not going to tell you, this is how I feel. I don't know how I feel because I'm still in the dream. I'm still, and I don't say this to brag again.
Yeah.
I had to make new dreams. Like, every dream I had, I accomplished. I sat in jail, and I said, I'm going to be a rapper and go platinum and travel the world. That was my only dream. I conquered that in the 90s.
Yeah.
I conquered that in the 90s. I said, I'm going to make a Spanish album, and I don't even speak Spanish. I conquered that in the 2000s.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to control media, and I only took a semester in journalism once.
Yeah.
And I controlled media. I told them I'm a be creative. I'm a create shows. These people, and I made a food show. So I technically have to make new dreams.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's motivation. I sit up. I wake up every day. This is, I don't know where you at. If you're on the West Coast, if you're on the East Coast, but I'm up early. This is early. I was up since 4:00.
Yep.
Rolling blunts for myself. I'm myself roller right now. I'm rolling blunts for myself today.
Yep.
No one's up at 4:00. I can't have no one up 4:00 rolling a blunt because I want to sit up and take over the world. I enjoy coming out and sitting on my balcony from 4 to 6 o'clock in the morning by myself because no one is outside. Even the birds ain't coming out at that.
Right.
The birds come out at 6. The birds come out at 6.
It's true.
You know
it's
what I
true.
Mean? The flies
yeah.
come out at 6:15, 6:30. I love to have the world. I love to feel like I'm conquering the world. So that's the hours I do. I come outside when no one's outside. And I know anyone else who's outside on their balcony is just as crazy as me, or they high.
Yeah.
Very or
true.
They high.
Facts.
Either or they drunk. I'm waking up sober. Because you know what I mean? This is sober.
Yeah.
That's what I do. So when you ask me about my 21, I ask myself that every day. And I say, I don't want to answer that question because I want a 50-year career.
That's good.
And obviously, I want to live long enough to have that.
Yeah.
So I stopped smoking cigarettes.
Do you remember the first time you met EFN and the rest of Crazy Hood?
I believe it was a party. And ironically, it was a behind the scenes story of Khaled and EFN. Of seeing, I think EFN and Khaled was both DJs, but they were both promoters, and they were both fighting. I had no idea of this. Obviously, I was in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be like our first time coming to Florida. As you know, obviously I came to Florida or I came to Miami before, but not as a star, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I am with this made guy, NRE, and so I believe EFN was the guy who got me. Went through Violator. I think he went through Mike Lighty, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I went to his store, Crazy Goods, and we kind of like kicked it off since then, I believe.
Do you kind of remember that moment when you first went to Crazy Goods and how that vibe was when you walked in and seeing like a store, hip hop store, filled with like so much, you know, dope clothes and dope music and just the vibe, the energy.
Of course, like I just remember me just thinking hip hop in Miami is just the Uncle Luke bass. Like we didn't realize that they loved hardcore hip hop in Miami. I mean, at least I did. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I thought I was gonna like, you know, run and see a bunch of booty shaking going on, and that's what I thought. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. You know, I lived in Miami for the past 12 years now, so I realized how dumb of thinking I was. But yeah. I gotta tell you the truth, as a person who never used to come to Miami, that's what I should think about Miami. I should think you get off the plane and you know Luke dances is just
right.
So when I see like you know people who love hip hop and I see his record memorabilia and his collection and I see that they not only that they knew and loved the music but they were a part of the culture. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't know that existed in Miami. And I remember that. I remember him just. Me frequently in Miami, and we would keep in contact, and he would always just get me on his mixtapes. Like, I kid you not, I would stop doing mixtapes. I would tell everybody in New York, I'm not doing mixtapes. And he would be the only one that could get me to do a fucking mixtape. And I never knew how he did it. I actually got to ask him that.
Right.
I never even asked him. He always would get me. I guess that's why I moved to Miami, because there's a certain feeling of coming to Miami where you just say, fuck it, I'm going to do it. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
It's just like it's just a wonderful feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. One of the stories that he would say, and the guys would say, is they would go to like all those how can I be down concerts or events, and at those events they would take like a mobile recorder and just record drops and record people to do mixtapes and things like that. Like back in that time, especially when things weren't even digital. Like, that's very innovative to go out, to be a go-getter and go out and get all those things. So definitely something very special, man. Very special that he did, for sure.
That motivated me because I used to see him running around with the portable thing. So we came out with the portable lab, like the actual lab, where you could just record anywhere. We used to call it, we had one called the Room Lab, and the Room Lab actually became the Hood Lab.
Uh-huh.
The Hood Lab was on 32nd and Madison, and that became the portable lab. It was all inspired by EFN. He used to do that from New York to, you know, like you said, How Can I Be Down to Los Angeles to wherever we used to see the Crazy Hood guys. They would always have their equipment with them. So, I mean, and that actually transferred to Drink Chance. I mean, that is technically what Drink Chance is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just we set up anywhere.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
for sure. And that's. To think it came from that to what it is now with Drink Chaps, it's incredible, man. So one of the first shows you did in Miami was with EFN and Crazy Hood. Can you describe that moment, like what it meant for you as an artist from New York to get love from a crew in Miami and to see your music expand outside of New York?
Again, like I said, like when you went to the Crazy Hood store, I thought that was just there, you know what I mean? I didn't think that like the crowd was going to be sold out. I didn't think the people in the crowd would know my words. I didn't think none of that. I figured that, okay, well, here goes this one store, they're in the hip hop, they know it. But, and them telling me, yo, the crowd is going to go crazy. The crowd is going to love your stuff.
Yeah.
And me coming out and me tearing down the show and, you know, saying, and you know, just being introduced to hip hop that way in Miami, I think that I have the best vision of Miami. So many people have a wrong vision of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where like you know they either think it's a Luke video or they think it's like, you know, cola caps all day and Slurpees and, you know what I'm saying, women running around. We know these guys enjoy hip-hop just as much as us, just as much as New York, just as much as California, just as much as anywhere. Right. So that first show, that whole experience was just like, wow, I can't believe Miami has a hip-hop scene. And not only a hip-hop scene, but an underground hip-hop scene, a scene where I don't have to, like, you know, go to Bell Harbor Mall and put on a Versace shirt because I want to look like Will Smith in a Miami video. No, right. I can actually wear the same fucking clothes that I wore in fucking New York City when I got off the plane, and I can still put on a hoodie, you know what I'm saying? I might be hot as shit, but I can still wear the same shit because these people, you know what I mean? These people, this is Miami, and that's what I was attached to.
Yeah.
It was a crazy hood movement.
You're listening to the Family Ties podcast series, A Crazy Hood Story. We also want you to check out Drink Champs and all its affiliated podcasts like Thugged Out Thursdays, A Drug Dealer's Dream, and many more that are being added to the network. So check us out at drinkchamps.com. Also check us out at crazyhood.com. And stay tuned for new episodes of Family Ties dropping every week.
And you recorded a song with E and the Alliance called That's Crazy.
Yeah.
So the first line of your verse, you say, you could see me in Miami with EFN. We was at the airport with some guns and some hen, right? So we confirmed with Orlando's interview of Family Ties that it really happened. E and Landy pulled up to the airport in Miami to pick you up. Do you remember that moment? Like, what were your thoughts when you see them pull up to pick you up? With all of that? Yeah, you can see me in Miami with EFN. You be at the airport with some guns and some hands. I am such a creepy. You know the L Icky. Up in LA, I think they call it Six Dicky. Yo, but hey, hard dog. They show me my first break and the first dick. Whatever gave me head in the wind. You creep, hated them all. So now I'm going to finish it out. I drink Heineken, cause I'm still getting it out. I rap fast, cause my niggas keep gas.
I mean, that was my introduction to Florida culture. It's like, do you know, like, you could be a felon in New York and be and have a gun license in Florida? It's fucking amazing. it's one of the craziest laws ever. It shouldn't exist, but it just does. So it's just like, what are you going to do, fight it or just accept it? And it's one of the reasons why a lot of people from New York who change their life over, they live in Florida, is because the gun laws is very lenient out here. They let you do what if you can actually be drunk and have a gun in your car. And
wow.
The police will give you back your gun. I'm telling you, when you throw up, they will take it while you're. But if you have a permit for it, they will give it back to you. And that was my first introduction to it. Was me? Coming back to Miami one time. I forget what for, but I believe. And I asked EFN, could you pick me up? You know, back then it wasn't Ubers or something like mm-hmm. that. So they said, yeah, no problem. They came, picked me up. And EFN always has a gun on them. I still, to this day, I'm sure he does. You know what I mean? I know I haven't asked his drink. I haven't asked his drink champs, but I'm sure he does. And it's not only him. All these Florida guys who don't have no wild crime, they have a gun on them.
Right.
They have a gun on them. And that was my first introduction to it, was me, you know, they're picking me up. And they knew I liked Hennessy at the time. I'm sure EFN never drank Hennessy, but they had Hennessy for me, yep. But that was like normal, though. I mean, usually they pick me up with guns and hand, but man, he would have Bacardi. Like, EFN was a strict, real deal Bacardi drinker. It was the most funniest shit in the world, because I come from a place where people drink Bacardi occasionally. Like, you right. occasionally drink Bacardi. Like, you know, we go to, maybe we're in Puerto Rico, so we'll do a pina colada, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but other than that, like, no one really drinks Bacardi from where, like, some of my, like, older uncles, so they used to be hilarious to me. There's always something that I noticed from him, is he's a Bacardi guy.
Yeah. You know, along with your relationship with E, you know, you have a very close relationship with Capone as well. How important is it to have that brotherhood in hip-hop? And to have that support system, you know, through the good and the tough times.
I mean, I think that's what it is. Is brotherhood is that. is exactly what you just said, the good times and the tough times, you know what I'm saying? Good. Me and Capone, we have more good times than tough times, but we have tough times nonetheless. And the tough times is what makes the good times even better. You know what I'm saying? Right. If you don't have tough times, and if you don't have trials and tribulations, then when you celebrate, what is it to celebrate? Because initially, you've been celebrating all the time because you never had trials and tribulations.
Right.
The trials and tribulations, the tough times is what makes it. You know, even us going into the revolt deal, me and E, like, having our little, back and forth, it was like it makes this time now that where we at now, it makes it more better because, you know, it's tough too because we are friends and we're friends with a business relationship. Same thing with Pone. Like, right. We're friends and we're brothers, but we also have a business relationship, and it also automatically makes me very serious once we do business. Because I want my brother to always be my brother, and I want my friend to always be my friend, and vice versa. So it always makes it tough. You know what I'm saying, to balance it. But it also, that's exactly what makes, you know, they say, you know, pressure makes a diamond. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They say that a diamond. They say diamond is actually ugly when you actually see the diamond. You know what I'm saying? But after you cut it and polish it and clean it, then it becomes this precious jewel that we all cherish. But if you see it rough. You know what I'm saying? But that's what makes it. You know what I mean? So
right.
I feel like that about Capone. I feel like that about EFN. I feel like that about a lot of my people that I've been with for years.
So these are a few questions that I've asked specifically throughout the whole Family Ties series. And I like to get your answers behind it. What does loyalty mean to you?
Well, loyalty is everything. Loyalty is rolling with your guy when he says, I'm making a move. Like, for instance, I told EFN recently, I'm making a move and I'm doing this. And he said, no problem, I'm with you. I can't share the specifics, but that to me, and this is recent, but it actually changed our relationship again. And for the better, what I mean by that is, like, it took me 2 or 3 days later to realize, like, wow, he really just rolled with me. Like, he didn't ask me a question. He didn't say why. He didn't. That's loyalty. You know what I'm saying? When I ask you, yo, listen, I'm going to bust this move. And this is a major move. And I'm going to do this. And I'm a boom, boom. And he goes, no problem. Let's go. And it took me, like I said, it took me like maybe 2 or 3 days, maybe even a week to sit back and say, wow, to realize that move. And that's loyalty. Like, when a person can tell you, yo, listen, I'm going to do this, and I don't even have the time to explain it to you, but I'm going to do this. And of course, you say, I'm with you, and he roll with you. That's real loyalty, man.
Yeah.
And me and EFN, it made me realize that. This is a recent thing. It made me realize that. I said, you know what? This is actually even iller than I think. And that, to me, is loyalty.
In your eyes, what's EFN's contribution to hip-hop?
EFN's contribution to hip-hop is, he's going to keep it alive, and he's going to keep the true essence of hip-hop alive. That's what I enjoy about him. I see that, you know, I've never really seen him DJ in the new millennium. You know what I mean? I used to see him DJ, and I used to see him bust his ass and go crazy. But I don't see him DJ in this new millennium. It's because he's stubborn. And I genuinely think he doesn't, because one, he makes a lot of money with Drink Champs. God bless that man. You know what I'm saying? And two, it's because I don't think he really likes this music. I think he doesn't. I really think he's one of those guys that goes on vacation with a Pasta Noose and De La Soul album and a motherfucking Tribe Called Quest album, and not they new shit. I'm talking about they old shit.
Right.
And you know, and I think that's what he does. I think he doesn't even give this new generation a try. Now, could I be wrong? I can. But I probably, if I was a betting man, I would say I'm 80% right that this is the reason why he doesn't DJ. He can't sit in the crowd and try to warm up a crowd with music that he doesn't like. Now, will he DJ a 90s party? I'm sure he's in. Will he DJ a 80s party? I'm sure he's in. Mm-hmm. Will he DJ a 2000 party? I'm sure he's in. 2010 is when he's out. 2010 and on, he's out. He's not a part of that.
Right.
And that's my analyzation. And I'm just telling you, in order to keep hip hop pure, we need people like EFN. We don't need him to change. We want him to stay the fuck the way he is. We don't want to introduce him to the Migos, and we don't want to give him But we could give him Anderson Peak, Pack, or Anderson Pack. I forgot how he spelled.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
We could give him people like that. We could give him Kendrick Lamar. We could give him Pusha T. We could give him Currency. We could give him I said Kendrick. I said Pusha T. J. Cole. Who else? There's one more out there. We could give them that, but we can't give them. He can't give him Migos.
Right.
We can't give him Travis Scott. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Maybe he might could give it Travis Scott. But you can't get with the new millenniums. He might not get with an 8 Boogie. He might not get with them. But that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And on the other hand, I love all the new shit. I find something positive about everything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. That's just who I am. I like to go to the clubs now. I enjoy the clubs now. You know what I mean? I'm the opposite of stubborn. I want to be exactly what. I want to know exactly what's happening now. You know what I'm saying? Right. So that's Ian's contribution to hip hop is he's a purist, and if we want hip hop to keep producing people like Kendrick's and J. Cole's, then we're gonna have to you know keep saluting and keeping our purists you know alive.
Right. So knowing E for all these years and all the history you've had prior to Drink Champs, how does it feel? Not just to be part of something special as Drink Champs, but to be able to do that with your friend.
That's what I wanted to do is I wanted to end my career. Not to say my career has ended, but I like to say I retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people say, you know, you retired. Well, we retired. No, you're about to drop an EP with Mass Appeal. You're about to, you got Drink Champs. And what I mean is I retired from the bullshit. Like, I really don't want to do, like, things that I don't want to do, I'm not doing anymore.
Right.
Like, if I don't want to go and, you know, to a book signing when I have a book, then fuck it. I'm not doing it. I retired from that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I retired from, you know, every little bit of things that I hate doing as an artist, and there's things that you say that they have to do, I don't want to do it. So I retired from that. So I promised myself that I want to only work with people who want to work with me and work with people who are family and make something special out of it. You know what I'm saying? Did I plan on this being the one of the most specialist and one of the most important things in my life besides my family? And this is it. I didn't plan on it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't plan on, you know, Drink Champs taking over my life. You know what I'm saying? But it did. It's just something that elevated and it's allowed me. I had, you know, I wanted to do shows other than, you know, I wanted to show people that I was more creative than just being an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that being an artist is great, but it's also like the level of stupidity when people look at you when you only create art. You know what I'm saying? We can only do music, excuse me. I mean, art is something different. Art is everything. Art is, when you look at a building, that's art.
Yeah.
When you look at an interview, that's art. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to show people that I wasn't just a musician. I was an artist. You know what I'm saying? So to be able to do that with my friend, and I knew he was the right guy because EFN is the most stubbornest person I've ever met in my life. He's going to be who he is. He's not going to dye his beard. Mm-hmm. He's not going to shave his beard. Mm-hmm. And he does it just to annoy people because it's who he is. And he knows, like, there's somebody every day that's going to say, you know they got Just for Men, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
you can dye the grays, right? You know you can, right? He's like, ah, fuck you. I'm going to say that. And that's just who he is. You know what I'm saying? And that's the reason why it works, because I'm a person who likes to change. I'm a person who likes to try new things, and he isn't. And when you put that combination together, like, no one thinks vodka and fucking soda works. But yeah, if you want to lose fucking weight, you fucking use vodka and soda, and you can eat, right? You can fucking lose weight. And you can still get drunk. Wait, who fucking thought of that? It's fucking
right.
Phenomenal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what Drink Champs is. It's two opposites that you put together and it fucking works. Because if you're on a diet, it's fucking the exact thing you need.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's the exact thing you need. And that's what the fuck we are. We're two opposites that come together and we give you something exactly what you need if you're on that path. If you're on that path of a hip-hop diet, this is exactly what you need. It's fucking Drink Champs.
That's dope.
I'm sorry I'm the host of the fucking show. I'm sorry he offended the host of the show. But I'm just saying it's exactly what you need.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying? If you're on a motherfucking training regimen and you got to lose 21 pounds to save your life, but you still want to have fun, what you think a trainer's going to recommend? Not no motherfucking Hennessy.
Mm-mm.
Not no motherfucking Patron. They're going to say keep vodka and do it with seltzer water, because seltzer water is pure. It's pure. So you need something pure, you need something that's fucked up, and you put it together and it makes a amazing combination. called Drink Chaps. You're welcome.
In our next episode, we meet our last member of the Crazy Hood family, the CEO of Crazy Hood Productions, DJ EFN. Tune in and listen to his Crazy Hood story. New episodes of Family Ties come out weekly. Family Ties is a Crazy Hood Productions. This episode was produced by DJ EFN and myself, Jay Havana. Our theme music is titled Southwest by DJ EFN, featuring MC8, Blue, and Cam, with production by The Guild. If you like what we're doing, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps new people find out about the show. Also, check us out on Audio Boom and CrazyHood.com. Always authentic, always crazy.